Hello, 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 and welcome to Letters from the Pen. I am your host, R&B singer Nakia.
And I'm your girl D.
I feel like we've been away for a while, even though we haven't. So we have a really great show for you guys tonight. It's going to be an oldie but goodie because we are going to have a classic musician in the building, Mr. Melvin Miller. So we are going to start the show off tonight pretty early with the letter because we want to spend a lot of time with Mr. Miller to talk about his accomplishments and different artists that he's worked with. And he's worked with a lot over the decades. So we want to get a chance to touch base with him on a lot of things. And we also want to get his take on the new president. So,
Interesting.
of course, later in the show, people will be able to call in and tell us their take on the new president as well, and what they thought about Donald Trump so graciously leaving without being at the inauguration. So let's get into the letter. Tonight we have a letter from someone who's pretty young. She's in high school. So let me start off reading this letter. So it says, "Dear Letters from the Pen, I am a senior in high school." By the way, she did not give us the name of the high school, and even if she did, we wouldn't disclose it because she's technically a minor. So, I am 17 years old. I'm in high school. I've been having a lot of problems in school with my weight. I was so happy when school went out and we had to do online virtual learning. It kind of gave me a break from the bullying. However, we just got notice that soon classes will go back to normal at least half a week. I'm really afraid to go back to school because I don't want to be bullied for my weight. It's not my fault that I am overweight. I have thyroid problems. I have tried everything that I could, and I feel like I'm gaining more weight because I'm getting depressed because I get picked on constantly. Do you guys have any advice for me on how to lose some weight and how to stop other girls from picking on me? Signed, sad teenager. Okay. So, do you want to attack this one first, or you want me to get all of it? You're on mute. Your mic.
Okay, so there's different things out there that she can actually try. There's Weight Watchers. Some people do Atkins diet. Some people just, do different things to watch how they're eating. They take out all like fried greasy foods, low carbs. There's different diets that she can try, but also you have to realize she said that one line that she has thyroid problems.
Okay, girl, you being too politically correct right now. Okay, so we know that she's got these issues. Like, what's up with the bullies? Like, how does she handle the bullies? Let's talk about that.
Bullying is something that a lot of kids go through nowadays, even back when I was in school. So when we say, how do we take away the bullies? It's no way to actually stop a bully. Sometimes, if that person gets tired of it and knocks that bully out, maybe that bully, would back up a little bit. But
Letters from the
at the
Pen,
same
disclosure,
time,
we do not condone violence. However,
I was going to say
you have to stand
violence
up
is
for
not
yourself.
cheap. And even if she goes and she tells the principal or tells a teacher, that's not going to stop the bully from being a bully.
Well, here's what I want to say. A person that's a bully. And it's sad because there's still bullies out there now as adults. So a person that's a bully, there is something wrong with them. And when I say there's something wrong with them, I'm saying that along the line somewhere, maybe they're being bullied, whether it be at home or whether it be
In the
someone they
music.
know. Right. So they're lashing out, and it doesn't necessarily mean that person really is that much of a bully, even though their actions are. They might be, you know, lashing out for help, but it's not right to take it out on somebody else. I mean, there are full grown adults that are still bullies. I mean, listen, if it makes you feel any better, I'm an adult. And just last week, someone called me fat and ugly and told me that I could not sing. I mean, listen, I'm old enough to know that that person is probably just deflecting because they feel a certain way about themselves. But the point, you know, the point being is that people don't grow out of being bullies. They just learn different ways how to become bigger bullies. And I would say that number one, you need to speak to someone, get someone involved, maybe. And I know these days it's hard because a parent, you know, trying to go talk to somebody else's parent might cause a bigger problem. But at the same time, at some point, you need to speak up for yourself and you need to stand up for yourself. And the parents of the child that's a bully, if you guys know about this and you're not doing anything about it, shame on you, because you should not teach your child to bully other people's children. And yes, they're in high school, they're 17, they're almost adults, but mentally they are not full-grown adults. So we need to get a handle on this. America, we need to get a handle on your children that bully people, okay? Because it causes issues and it causes problems, and you don't know what another child is going through. They could be in a dark place. They might, you know, contemplate suicide. You don't know. I mean, honestly, it's easier to just be nice to somebody than it is to bully somebody. And, you know, it's sad that we have to tell our children or teach them to have such tough skin for certain situations. But I mean, it's happening every day across America. It's happening. It's happening with race, people discriminating on each other, no matter which way it's going. People discriminating on someone's sexual orientation or what they identify with. And I mean, it's just something that needs to be contained, and it's not gonna happen and it's not gonna help unless everybody gets on board and realizes that people are people and they are who they are and everybody's different in their own unique way. And just because someone's different than you does not make you any better, does not make them any less. So I am going to drop the number for the mental health hotline just in case. You need to speak to somebody and you're afraid to speak to your parents, because I know sometimes children don't feel comfortable going to their parents. That number is 1-800-662-4357 or 1-800-662-HELP. And of course, obviously, adults, if you see something like this happening, it is your job. It is your to step in and to make sure that something like this does not continue to happen.
And also, if you have
to go with a whole little piece of
any adults that's going through bullying, they can also go to the stopbullying.gov website, and there's help there that can help show you how to prevent bullying and get help.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of resources out there. Even right now, you know, homelessness is on the rise. People don't have clothes. You know, we got grown people walking around with holes in their socks. You know, there's numbers that you can call for that, for help. So if you're one of those adults that got holes in your socks and you can't afford new socks, I mean, we can't help you with a pedicure with crunchy toes. But hit us up, www.lettersfromthepen.com, and we will make sure that, you know, we get some resources out to you. We will send a care package for you. If you need, listen, if you need a new wig, well, we're here, okay? We're here for the community. But okay, so our special guest is in the building, Mr. Melvin Miller, and we're going to get him in here, and we are going to say hello. Mr. Miller, if you're there, you can hear me. Come on in. There's a lot of people waiting to hear from you. Play some of your good old music. So right now he's connecting his audio, so we will see him pop in here in a second.
Yay.
So how was your week, D?
Exhausting.
Did you watch the inauguration?
I did.
I did not. I did not have time for the foonery. But I kept seeing like
Michelle Obama
pieces and clips
that outfit
of what was happening. But yeah, I'm just flabbergasted by everything that's going on in America right now. Everybody just needs to calm down. It's just too much.
I was all there, Miss Michelle Obama in that outfit, baby. She better walk home.
Pause that thought. Pause that thought, because Mr. Miller is in the building.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Letters from 10.
Can you hear us, Mr. Miller? Are you on mute?
Well, it doesn't say that you're on mute right here.
If you go to the bottom of your screen, you should be able to click, touch the bottom of the screen and look on the bottom. Are you on mute?
A little microphone.
If there's a red line going through your microphone, you're on mute. Can you hear us, Mr. Miller? Are you with us? All right, so while he is connecting to audio, I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys a little bit about Mr. Miller's journey. Miller is who has been in the game for over 3 decades. We still can't hear you, Mr. Miller. See if you can connect your audio. So, okay, Mr. Miller, try to manually connect yourself so we can get you on here to talk to you. But as I was saying, so Mr. Miller, there should be a way you can connect your audio. I think if you, let me see.
It goes to audio connect and then you have to click that.
What does he have to click on?
Go to sound so he can hear us and we can hear him. So like click on the bottom of your screen, the little microphone, and then you go up to audio. You click that audio so you can hear. And then when you talk, we should be able to hear you. We should be able to hear us. Well, I'm pretty sure you probably can hear us. We just can't hear you right now.
Yeah, I think he can hear us. Is that him?
Let's just give him a second.
Yeah, we'll give him a second.
Mel was the guitarist for Motown. For one, he was also the guitarist for the Supremes in the mid 1970s, writing two songs off their last album.
And we are going to get into one of those songs and play one of those songs. I actually love the Supremes. I really do.
Of course, it's the Supremes. Who doesn't?
Right.
Oh, he's smiling. That means we must
hear you. I can finally hear you.
We got sound. All right. We got some sound going on. So yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I had to go to the phone.
Yes. Okay. But we're glad that you got connected and we're glad that we have you here tonight. We are so thankful that such a musical legend is in the building with us. So for those out there that does not know who you are, that do not know who you are, please introduce yourself, Mr. Miller.
My name is Melvin Miller Jr. I'm just a guitar player that loves playing and backing up people and enjoy life.
So now you've played for some of the greats. I mean, what was it like playing with Ray Goodman and Brown? Let's talk about that, because I love them.
Oh, well, that's, you know, every gig was just, it was just a gig, you know, you just go, you perform and try to make them sound good, you know, follow them. They make a mistake, you still got to make it look good, you know. So that's the job of a musician.
So what was the first big gig that you played that you were actually starstruck, like, oh my God, I'm really playing for this person?
You know something? Every gig is important to me. Doesn't matter. Little, you know, little, big, super big, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, every job is important.
That is so true. That is so true. So how has COVID like affected you doing shows and stuff like that? Or what are you doing now? Like, are you retired? Are you still playing?
Well, I'm just in my studio, you know, doing tracks for people, get my material ready to be out there. Sometimes people call me for arrangements. So I write the arrangements out, send it to them and things like that. But I can't wait to get back on stage because I live to play.
I feel the same. I'm missing the stage. COVID definitely took us for a twist on that one.
Sure enough.
So, Mr. Miller, I hear that you're a musical director for Dr. K's Motown Revenue.
Well, I'm not with them anymore. Right now, I'm music director for Shadows of the 60s, which is... It's a big show. Sometimes we have a cast of 22 people. All depends on, you know, what the budgets are. We travel all over the country, you know, doing Motown. I lost you a little bit.
So the new project that you're working, when is that coming out? And what, like, who's on it? What kind of project is it?
Oh, just my original music. And I have guest artists singing. My friends from all over the country. You know, I'll send them some other tracks. And they'll put some of their things on it. And then I'll take and compile it and put it out.
Okay, so tell us some of the places you played. Like, what some of the biggest arenas or stages you've been on?
A whole lot of them. So many. I really can't name them all, you know. But I love them all. Oh man, you know. So many. You know, my whole life that's what I've been doing is playing on stage. I do very little club dates. Very little. At one time, I was doing a lot of club dates with, you know, weddings, bar mitzvahs, all that stuff. But my main thing is, like, I've always been a show guy, you know, the backup shows. So, like, I did it for 9 or 10 years. The money was good, but it's not the same. You know, it's playing live, getting a live reaction, and the people making you do the best you have to do to make it work.
Right. Right. So what do you think has changed about music now versus when you like first started playing and stuff like that?
It is a little different. A lot of stuff is electronic, you know, electronic music and latest sounds audio has come a long way since I started. Before, it used to be 24 tracks, up to 48 tracks. Now it's digital. Like, I could do a record right here in my studio. It's a lot different now.
So have you worked with any, like, artists that from this era that you had to kind of adjust your musical style for them?
That's some question. Somewhat. I mean, if they can sing it, I'll play it, you know.
Right.
You can't overplay. You have to play, you know, you got to compliment what's around you. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I've never been a person myself. you know, play what's, so now, you know.
What instruments do you play?
My main instrument is guitar, but I do play keyboards, bass, drums, but I leave that to the guys. You know, my main, I'm a guitar player, arranger, and I direct the band. That's my main thing that I do.
So are you going to give us a sample of your guitar playing tonight?
I didn't plan to, you know, but you know, I never play for myself, you know, and I never try to show off, nothing like that. I don't do that kind of, you know, I like to, you know, play it and just, you know, make it work, you know.
So now when you're on stage playing for like the Delphonics and stuff like that, you know, I know they like to move around and dance. Was you dancing too, or you were just playing?
I move around.
Oh, so you can get down and you can boogie.
Well, I try to gotta make sure the drummer is playing the right beat, so I might have to, you know, keep it going, you know. So I move that. I just move around a little bit, you know, not crazy, but just because the band has to follow me a lot of times. So I got to make sure that everybody's on cue, you know, and
right
stuff.
All right, so. Right now, I want to get into one of the songs. I want to play one of the songs that you did for The Supremes, which I like very much. So you keep moving on. That's what we're going to play. And just tell us a little bit how you came to be on that song.
Well, I wrote, if you listen, like a lot of the guitar stuff or that was my stuff that Brian listen to it in order to make the arrangements. I think James Carmichael is the one who actually did the arrangements, you know, on the Supremes album. And matter of fact, that was my first thing that I wrote with the Supremes. And matter of fact, I had to do it in my grandfather's name because they were just sure what's going on. I said, well, just use my grandfather's name. My grandfather's name was Hugh Weitch. So I used my grandfather's name in order to be a part of that song, you know. And like all those guitar licks and stuff, those are my licks. And Brian just took it and just blew all the stuff up, you know. And he said, when he got finished, he said, wow, we can make a couple more songs out of this. You know, because I put it back then, it was a cassette tape. And you give it to the Ranger and Brian. Brian is a genius. Brian Hopkins is a genius. When he's the one who wrote all those Supreme songs, him and Eddie and Lamont Dozier. They really, they are very creative and on the money.
Nice. All right, so let's get off into the song. Right now we are going to play You Keep Me Moving On by the Supremes right here on Letters from the Pen. We'll be right back.
moving.
Keeps me moving.
So I just love that song. That's just like this classic Supremes. I mean, what else can you say?
Matter of fact, that's Sherry Payne, Freda Payne's sister, that's singing.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a great song. It's great real music, you want to call it. So we're going to take some callers. Call in 888-627-6008 if you have any questions for Mr. Melvin Miller. So let's talk about the song. Let's talk about anything you want to talk about. But before we get into that, we're going to shout out our sponsors that make Letters from the Pen possible. LHS Home Care, for all your home care needs for your loved ones in the New York and tri-state area. JRC Cleanup, no job is too small, too big. OG2 Entertainment, Amore Dior Designs, for all your press needs. And we have a new sponsor on board. Hey, okay, so I'm gonna try not to mangle this name. Cryptunitation Way. Right. Crip, K-R-Y-P, the number 2, Nitation Way. It's a clothing store. They have some amazing artwork on their clothing. Everything is hand designed, it's hand drawn. Go check them out. Website is the Cryptunitation Way, pincustom.com. That link will be up on our website later, www.lettersfromthepen.com. You can check it out there and you can click on the link and go order you some fancy stuff. When you do, let us know. We'll bring you onto the show so we can see how cute you look. So, Mr. Miller, what's next for you? Like, what are your plans? I mean, do you plan on slowing down anytime soon? Or are you just gonna start popping out some hits? Like, what's the plan? What's your next plan?
Well, to keep playing as long as I can. I've been blessed to be able to play this long, though. I've been really blessed.
I mean, how long exactly have you been in the game?
Oh man, wow! Since I was about like 11 years old. No one knew how old I was. Like at 12, 13, I was playing in clubs, backing up the Pearl Box Review, Jewel Box Review, and backing up singing groups. Like I never talked. My mother said I can do anything I want to do as long as I don't, you know, get into drugs, pass women and everything like that. So I was able to playing the clubs. But after I get finished playing, I would go in the dressing room because I didn't hang out, you know, in the bar like that, you know. So I was able. They thought I was a midget playing guitar. So I just did what I had to do. I didn't smile. I just played.
So at what age really did you know that you were going to be a musician? This is what you wanted to do. This is what I'm doing. Like, when did you discover that?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I was a bad little boy coming up. So music took me from, you know, all the stuff. You know, as a boy, you grow up, you just do things, you know. Fight. I used to fight all the time, just do stuff. So one day, I'll make it short. We talked to the pastor one day. He said, boy, what you want to do? You want to be a musician? You want to be a doctor, lawyer? So we had to be around the piano. I said, I think I want to be a musician. He said, well, yeah, get yourself together and do what you got to do to make it happen. He just went on. So the next day, on Monday, I went to the music teacher. And he gave me a music test. He said, great, great, great. Yeah, yeah. But we had no more instruments. Oh, wow. So one of my friends, he was playing sax, and he didn't want to play it. So I ended up playing saxophone first. And I wanted to be a trumpet player, though. So I ended up playing that, and I went through school playing, you know, I played saxophone, I played the glockenspiel, I played the baritone, trumpet, drums. I ended up playing a lot of instruments. Then when I got to high school, I was into sports. So I played football. I did track. I didn't plan to do track. I was always a football player. But back then, there was a lot of racism. I'll put it this way. So even though you were good, you still somebody else went ahead of you. So
right.
You had to deal with, you know. Plus, I'm not that tall at all. So
right, if right. Big,
certain color, you get it, you know.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Marjette. I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Okay, thank you for calling in. Do you have a question for Mr. Melvin?
Yeah, I have three questions, if that's okay.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. The first thing I want to know is, what would you say is your greatest accomplishment?
Dealing with my granddaughter. She's something else. 3 years old. She keeps me. She keeps me moving on. She's something else.
Oh yeah, that's a good accomplishment. That age, they have a lot of energy.
Yeah, I mean, I did 38 years. I coached in Amityville School District. That was really a joy and a blessing for me to coach these kids for 38 years. I finally retired, and I've always played music. I never told anybody about it. So only very few people knew that I played in my history, you know, but I never talked about it. I just did what I had to do, you know. Sometimes the kids, they would find out and they question me about it, and I can talk about it then, you know. But it was a great thing for me to be able to mentor, you know, these student athletes. And till this day, they're still friends of mine. You know, they get in touch with me because I always told them, my door's always open. So I would hear from them here and there.
All right. What's your next question?
Okay. If you could go back in time, what would you change musically?
You know something? That's a hard question because, you know, people's journey, when you take a journey, you never know. But personally, I love jazz. I wanted to be a jazz player, but didn't make any money playing jazz. So I became a pop guitar player and it's studio worthy, you know. Yeah, that's what I did. And, you know, writing out charts for the group, you know, horn players, whatever, you know, that was my job, you know, to write the charts out and make the performance good. I've been lucky. I put it that way. I can't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. Just that I met the love of my life. You know, I've been married for the last, you know, 36 years. If I get the number wrong, I get hit in the head later, but it's all right.
Okay, what's your next question?
My last question is, what advice do you have for any young artist coming up today?
Well, to be true to yourself, practice, 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 be for real with people, and also if you're doing music and you plan to use music to find girls or whatever, that's not the thing to do. The thing is, like, doing music, do music, and everything else will be fine.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. You can go to our website, www.lettersfromthepen.com. Drop your information and we'll send you some updates and stuff. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. You too. Again, guys, we are here on Letters from the Pen tonight with Melvin Miller. If you have any questions, any shout outs you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. Call us right here on Letters from the Pen. The lines are open. So, Mr. Miller, now we're going to get into some tougher questions. Well, I don't think they're tough questions, but, you know, we're just being nosy here on Letters from the Pen. Did you watch the inauguration?
Oh, I sure did.
And what did you think?
What are your thoughts?
Well, I was glad to get a new president. And let me tell you something that really stuck in my mind. That young poet, she was something else.
Oh my, she's 22 years old.
And she was killing it.
She said that she started writing the poem and then she finished the poem after what happened on January 6th at the Capitol. And that's how she got the closing of her poem. And she's only 32 years old.
She's awesome. Awesome.
That might have been the best part of the inauguration. I didn't watch it, but I kept seeing everyone talk about that, about her reading the poem and the clips everywhere. And, you know, obviously the internet and social media going crazy over it.
Mm-hmm. I watched it and I just love Michelle's outfit. I'm still on Miss Obama. That outfit, that maroon, she better work it.
Yeah, she already showed up to play.
I said, look at Michelle showing off without me.
Well, where were you at when the police was getting beat up at the Capitol building? You should have been up there too.
No. At that point, I didn't even know what was happening. I was asleep. And then when I woke up, I was like, this is going down? And then by the time I called to see if they needed my help, they said they got everything under control.
First of all, I started seeing, this is before I knew what was going on, okay? This is how silly everything was. So someone posted a picture with a bunch of people climbing over a wall. So when I saw it, I was like, all right, they're just cracking jokes about, you know, Trump building the wall. So I was like, whatever. So the next thing you know, like 10 minutes later, I get all these alerts, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. And I said, hold on, let me look at this a little bit closer. So I turned on the TV. I said, Lord, help these people. Hopping over the wall, running, acting like animals. But I still want to know. I'm still stuck on this. I need to know who stole that damn statue out the Capitol building and why. And the stand. Like, why'd you steal the stand? What you going to do with that? I need to know. If you're listening, you need to call in and tell me what you did with that stand. I won't tell on you. Okay? I won't tell on you. I mean, you might tell on yourself. The show is syndicated and there's a lot of people listening, but I need to know what you did with that stand and that statue and what your purpose was for stealing it. Somebody call and tell me, please.
They still didn't get the statue back.
No, but I need to know why. Like, what are you doing with the statue?
You know, I still say, you know, with everything that happened, that was an inside job. That was something that was put together and
well, listen,
when to happen.
I don't think it was like an inside job from the Capitol. I think what it was modern day KKK. I mean, if you just saw everything that was going on. I mean, it was just, it was put together by a bunch of thugs. And obviously, when I say thugs, because, you know, when the whole Black Lives Matter movement was going on, you know, they was out there in full force, ready to pop people with anything they had in their hand. They allowed this group of people to just kind of wreck things for a while before anything happened, which is kind of insane. I mean, if you really think about it, it's really insane that you have a Capitol building and you basically have like security guards with like no weapons or anything. And there's only like five of them. Like, you saw this mob, 100, 200 angry people coming. Did you really think five people was going to stop these people from coming to the Capitol building? Let's be serious about it.
I've been to the Capitol building plenty of times.
You want to know something?
Like, and just more than five security guards that are there. The security guards is what got me, because when there's usually a lot of security there at the Capitol, and for it to be so like little security there, it was just like, what is going on here?
Girl, first of all, I thought I was watching part three of Mall Cop. Okay. Like, seriously, I was like, what is going on in here? And then like, I get it. I understand, like, you take an oath for certain jobs, but I'm sorry, that poor officer that died because he got crushed and trampled in the door trying to hold everybody out. Looky here. Let me tell y'all something. Capitol building, y'all got more money than me, okay? So myself, I'll go up to the and tell y'all, go on in there. Just go on the guards. Girl, bye. You're gonna be trampling over me. And then, you know what it reminded me of? For real, it reminded me of when Walmart used to do Black Friday before they kind of stopped doing certain things, and people was just getting ran over and trampled, and they was fighting over PlayStations, and that's what that reminded me of, literally, like a pack of wild boars.
Let's give Melvin a chance to speak. Oh,
sorry, yeah.
let's see how Melvin feels.
Well, I try not to talk politics, but, you know, I just hope everything works out all right. But right now, we have opposition in the Republican Party right now. They need to drop all this stuff about, the people, they did attack the Capitol. They should be punished for it. I'm sorry, you know. And can't sugarcoat that. Can't sugarcoat that at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know they're rounding up a whole bunch of people, and I know somebody just got arrested. It was in the news. Somebody just got arrested for, I guess, threatening to assassinate the president. But it's like, come on, people. I mean, I think that for there to be freedom of speech in America, like, people are way too angry that a Democrat went into office or a Republican was in office. Like, you're way too angry about it, because at the end of the day, you're out here fighting each other over someone who's in office that could really care less about any of you guys, if you kill yourself, if you fight or anything. So the bottom line is, it flips back and forth all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, one term, there'll be a Democrat in there. The Democrat will control the House. There's another term, it goes to the Republicans. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everyone's main concern shouldn't be that title or that name. Oh, it's a Republican, it's a Democrat. Our main concern should be, what is this president going to do to rectify and to bring America back together and bring it back on its feet the way it should be, no matter who it is. So I'm not upset. I mean, I'm not a Biden fan. I'm not a Trump fan. I wasn't either way. I wasn't upset if either one of them went in there. Tell me what you're going to do, even for you know, the politicians on the local levels and the county levels. Tell me what you are going to do to lower our taxes, to bring teachers back to teaching. Like, you know, tell me what we're going to do about the homeless population, why so many people are homeless, why the system is overstressed, why there's so many people that are taking advantage of the system, sitting and collecting public assistance for 30 years. Like, tell me what you're going to do about this. Tell me what we're going to do about education. Tell me why an American citizen goes to college, and when they're done, by the time they're done, they're up to their ears in debt, but an illegal immigrant can come over here and get all the free education in the world and start with a clean slate. I mean, explain these things to me. These are the type of things that I want to know. I don't care if you're blue, black, white, or brown. I just want to know what you're going to do for the American people. Okay.
Well, let me stop. I could say one thing. You know, they can't evict nobody until May. So everyone that's out there that's like, you know, hasn't paid their rent, make sure you're saving every dime, every stimulus. So when May comes, you're able to get up out of there.
But see, listen, that's bad because for people that are like homeowners like me, I still got to pay my mortgage. Even if somebody does, if they don't pay their rent and they're living in my house, I have to pay my mortgage. So I think that the government needs to be doing something for these homeowners too, because if you're saying, listen, these people can live in your house rent free till this time. And then guess what? When that time is up, and they still have to go through an eviction process. So somebody could be sitting up in their house for 2-3 years without paying rent, and they still got to pay that mortgage and them taxes. And that's not right either.
And they're still buying 80-inch flat screen TV. So when
that's
they
what
get,
I'm saying. Like when people have
to, TV when, listen, go with,
when people,
I don't
when
know
people
how they're going to get cable on the streets, but you know we're going to make it happen. I see
girl,
people.
They're going to have to go to a McDonald's and connect to some Wi-Fi or something. I don't know.
You got that smart TV. It's smart enough to turn on.
I'm just saying, people, be smart. Be smart, people, because even this second round of stimulus checks, people were complaining they got $600. Listen, I didn't get nothing. I got zero. I make too much money. I got zero. So, I mean, I should be complaining like, listen, sir, like, everybody should be entitled to the money. Dude, I mean, I'm still on these checks that 20, 30, $70,000 in money. And y'all know y'all didn't work for that money and wasn't entitled to that money. So, you know, share the love. Start, you know, passing somebody around. You know, go to the website. I'm going to drop my Cash App on there.
If one of you are the people that got the EDD money and you haven't got caught yet, but you got thousands of dollars, I'd be that girl you call D. Call me.
Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh.
I guess you're letting it all out now, huh? You're letting that out.
I'm not a mean person. You know, $DEEDE1218.
I'm still just wondering what people did with their stimulus check and their EED money. Somebody tell me something, because if you got all that EED money and you didn't start a business or didn't invest in anything, and all you did was invest in some wigs and some nails and some sneakers, some Jordans, your priorities are messed up. Like, come on now. Come on, Black people, what are we doing? Invest your money, invest in yourself.
I didn't get any EDD.
Not in Jordan.
I invest my money in my children all the time.
Oh, yeah, girl. Yeah, gotta invest in them too. Children are expensive.
Yeah. Especially my older one.
Oh man. So, Mr. Miller, where can people find you at? So, like, let's say I was an artist and I'm like, okay, I want to work with Mr. Mel Miller. I want him to do some music for me. How would I find you?
I'm really easy to find. I'm on Facebook. You inbox me. You know, I usually get back to people. You know, all the time.
Can we throw out the bat signal? When you
I always answer my phone.
You respond to the bat signal.
So if someone was trying to reach out to do a song with you, or to get like help with the track or something from you, how much do you usually charge, or it depends?
It all depends. Oh, she knows.
You nosy?
Don't kill me.
You nosy, but yeah, people got EED money, so they should be able to afford it. Oh man. All right. So what is your I guess if they go to Facebook to find you, is it just Melvin Miller or is it Melvin Miller Jr.?
It's probably on Melvin Miller Jr. Melvin Miller Jr. probably. But if you punch in my name, it should come up. Or if you punch in Shadows of the 60s, you might find me, then you can hit me right there too.
Sounds of the 60s. Okay, so was you singing back, like background too? You were singing backup too?
No, I just take care of the music, you know, the musicians, and you know, write the stuff out for the musicians to read and, you know, to follow, you know, to make it happen.
Okay, that was a good answer because I was about to tell you to hit that doo-wop note.
No, I do want to know one.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Right now, you guys get it out now because when you interview Dave Rebels, he's going to have you laughing and all kinds of stuff. Get it out now on me.
I just want to know one thing. Did you do the little bop?
Oh, no.
When you know how you play, like...
No, I don't think that was their dance moves right there. I think they was doing like the...
Hey, let me tell you the funny story. One time, I was wrapped up in a guitar chord doing the show, and it made me trip. So I made it look like a part of the whole thing. The whole audience started clapping. You know, I almost busted my, you know what, you know.
With the bop. I know you got it. Let me just see one shoulder.
One shoulder.
Yeah! why you guys doing that shoulder bop?
Like every guitar player, I always see they always got that. Yeah. I did it.
What's your favorite type of guitar to play on?
Oh my goodness! Wow. Well, I endorse for Tom Anderson guitars, but I do have. Every guitar that I would need to do a job, you know, Les Paul 335.
Ooh, yes.
You know, acoustic guitar, you know, I mean, I have so much stuff. It's crazy. Sometimes I don't even use it anymore. I need to sell it maybe, or maybe if I keep it long enough, it probably be worth a lot of money. Some of the stuff that I have, but there's some guitars I wish I still had, you know, but you know, buying, yeah, and selling, trading, you know, but, I do have some good guitars, though.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have you back on the show. And the next time you come back on the show, you're going to have to play for me. Okay? So don't be scared. You can't be hiding now.
Did you say pray for you? You say pray?
No, I said play. No, I said play.
With the box.
You can pray for me, too, though, but play.
And I want to see the box, okay. Too. It's a bounce. This is a box. Okay, the bounce.
Well, you know, I mostly don't do that. I do a lot of footwork. I'm a footwork guy, you know.
Oh. So I need to see the James Brown saying that.
Hey, one time I tried the Chuck Berry, that hurt. I can't do that Chuck Berry thing. That hurt. I don't know how we did that, man. That hurts.
So are there any like virtual concerts or anything in the future for you?
Probably. I can't wait to play live, man. This is really I got the pandemic blues right now. You know,
I
play out, you know, so used to people calling me, then usually I work on my birthday. My birthday is New Year's Eve. I'm so used to working.
So you're Capricorn?
Yes. And I stayed home. My wife enjoyed, but hey, I want to be out there playing, you know.
I know, yeah, I know. I mean, it is Capricorn season. Shout out to all the nice Capricorns I know, and shout out to all the crusty ones too.
you seem like a nice
Capricorn.
Yeah, nice one.
But without further ado. So thank you so much, Mr. Miller, for joining us tonight on Letters from the Pen. We will definitely have you back in the future. And again, you guys can get him on Facebook at Melvin Miller Jr. I almost got tongue-tied there. Thank you for joining us on Letters from the Pen. Join us back here on this Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll do our live music review. I am your host, R&B singer Nakia.
And of course, I'm your host, Dee.
All right. Thanks for having me, ladies.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.